coming on?
Bring it on. Want some, get some. Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates, because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. Be a pirate.
Because when you're in East Carolina, you go for it every time. When you don't coach in East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play in East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You've ever been to Omaha? I can promise you that.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for pirates.
You're muted, Dave.
Welcome to the Sports Objective Bowl extra innings on a Sunday night.
Does Dave sound right to you guys? To me,
not one bit, Kyle. Not
sounds very muffled.
Dave, your mic's off. There's something wrong with your mic. Welcome to the Sports Objective,
hey,
guys.
Here.
All right, there we go.
For some reason, it was two audios playing at the same. I'm not muted. Hello, I'm here.
You got lag now.
Well, if you have YouTube open, kill that.
This is a great start right here, guys.
It's the look on your face, Dave. Kyle, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, guys. Sports and
Jokes. Well, I just went away.
Dave is having technical difficulties. He will be back when those technical difficulties resolve. In the meantime, we welcome in the one and only Johnny Stabs Robertson, JR. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Definitely had better weekends, better days. We'll talk about it. I'd rather not, but we will. We'll trudge through it, and we'll try to figure out what's going on with these Pirates.
It is down to just me and JR now. Apparently, Alan Vick, I had my big introduction ready for Alan Vick, JR. Now I can't even use it.
Yeah, well, he'll be back.
Well, hopefully. Yeah, no, dude, it's been a horrible week, Pirate Baseball, 1-3 for the week. You lose a heartbreaker at Duke on a walk-off three-run homer when you have the lead in the ninth on the road. You play well Friday night, get the dub. Saturday was a disaster. Today, you battle back. You have a two-run lead in the bottom of the ninth. And again, just like at Duke, you can't hold on to it. You lose an extra innings. JR, to me, this team is playing tight. They don't look like they're having a lot of fun out there on the diamond. And I think that may be part of the problem. These guys are stressing. It's mental. Coach Godwin's a very intense guy. He's a great coach. This is not a knock against Coach Godwin, but you hear him with the media. He's a very intense guy. And I wonder, I don't know, if his intensity, instead of the team, buying into that intensity in a positive, I wonder if they're almost playing too tight.
Kyle, excellent observation, because I feel the same way, only that, it's definitely not an indictment on Coach Godwin, because, I mean, he's proven that he's got the formula figured out for success. But maybe, things are changing a little bit. Maybe the new coaching staff isn't meshing quite as well. There's some tension there. He just seems overly agitated this year. And, the fact that he got thrown out today, I'm not holding that against him, because – he did what he had to do to try to rally the team. That wasn't today. That was yesterday. I mean, all these games are running together. But, that was yesterday. And, I just feel like someone told me that they heard one of the players mention to their parents that it's not exactly a carefree attitude. It is a little uptight. So, I don't know if that's what's affecting the play or what it is, but there's something going on there where they're just not at optimum performance whatsoever. Pitching looked great.
And that was my theory, JR. And then you're saying that a player's parent mentioned that to you, and we won't get into players'
What they didn't mention to me. They mentioned to somebody else that mentioned it to me. But, yeah, but I don't want to get into that at all any further. And I certainly wouldn't put it out there if I didn't, in fact, hear it. But, you know, it just – it makes you wonder. And hopefully everything – I thought this weekend, to be honest with you, I heard that before this weekend. And I thought, hey, you know what cures that? Taking two out of three from UTSA, and then we won the first game. And I still said, you know what? I'm not going to be greedy here. I still want, you know, a sweep would be awesome, but let's go for two out of three at least. And we were so darn close.
Had every opportunity to win the day and should have won the day. And I know we'll welcome back in. Alan, I had the introduction ready for you, and then you popped out, so I'm going to do it now. Dave, I'm not to step on you here, but welcome in North Carolina radio veteran. Of over 30 years, I don't know, 40 years, he was around when they invented transistor radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Vick.
Thank you.
He's related to Marconi.
Hey, I was hanging out with Marconi, and he's doing fine, by the way. He says hello. But it's great to be here tonight, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, by the way, I'm sorry, guys. I figured out. I'll tell you guys in chat what happened. But anyway, all is good as far as that now. I had two sources of audio, and I figured it out. So we're all good. You know, I thought about Kyle and Alan and Johnny. You guys are all music fans. Susan Tedeschi has a song called It Hurts So Bad. That's the way that I felt today. I just knew we were going to win that game. And then it's like there's like a responsibility. Just like when the Patriots were winning all the time, they had this thing where they were talking about the responsibility of winning. It can also work the other way around. And it almost felt like today it was like, here we go again. We're down 5-0. We come back and we're up 7-5. I wasn't cocky at all, you know, because you still have to put them out, right? But it kind of felt like, here we go again, right?
Well, to me, it's like what me and JR were discussing. We're playing tight.
Yep.
You're not going to win games. You're not going to win tight games when you're playing tight baseball. Is you're just not going to, and we're not good in close games. And anytime, to me, that always indicates playing tight. Now, I'm no expert. You know, I will stand on my expertise in college football versus anybody, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm a college baseball expert. But I do know sports in general, and I do know you can't win tight games playing tight. And I think instead of rolling with momentum and taking the momentum into the bottom of the ninth, you know, when one little thing went wrong, we let it snowball. And then, you know, we didn't seem to have much confidence in the extra innings. I mean, you could just see us trying to hang on. And, you know, some of that is the pitching depth for sure. Some of that's definitely just simply pitching depth, being down two starters. Maybe some of our relievers aren't performing. We're asking them to perform, you know, pitch way longer than they should be having to.
Right.
But so it's not all just playing tight. Some of this is the pitching situation.
Well, but the thing is, too, though, that we were down 5-0, right? But I'm just wondering what's going on with why are we're almost into April, and you see that we have the talent. We definitely have the talent. This is definitely not this is definitely not a talent deficiency. We have great coaching. We have the grade of everything. So
yeah, I don't think we have a lot of power on this team. At least it hasn't shown it yet, JR. I don't know your thoughts on that, but place I do think we're lacking in the talent department. I don't think we hit for a lot of power.
I think we do. It hasn't shown itself yet. I mean, our home run leader is Grady Linehan, and we know Austin Irby and Colby proved last season, you know, that they're capable of double-digit home runs. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe, you know, it'll click at some point. But, yeah, power-wise, I think South Florida is way, way, way at the bottom. Other than them, like, everybody has more home runs than us. But I will say this. I do want to give credit to the Pirates this weekend for one thing. And that is, I mean, people don't realize UTSA – what kind of numbers they've been running up offensively. And, you know, they've played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They played 7 series before this one. And the fewest runs that they had scored was 27 against New Mexico State. We held them to 14. And the fewest hits that they've been held to is 32, which was Dallas Baptist. We held them to 18 hits. So we 18 hits, 14 runs over three games for UTSA is phenomenal. And yeah. at one point they didn't score in like 15 innings.
Pitching staff did enough, particularly Friday and yesterday. Even though yesterday was the most lopsided game, it won't because of the pitching. And today they gave up some runs, but for the most part we answered. So with the pitching depth issues we have at the starter, you know, in the rotation, I think our pitching staff really wasn't today. They were a bit of the problem, particularly when we got into, you know, extras. You could tell we were hesitant to go into the pen more. But besides that, the pitching staff, I think, did enough this weekend. In the you guys can hear me. I got a phone call. The pitching staff did enough this weekend, considering the situation.
Yes, it did. We've got to be able to hit, and we're popping up a lot of pitch.
Did we lose?
Yeah, I don't know what it's. This is a crazy, crazy technical night.
Yeah, we lost you there, Dave, for just a second. But now you seem to be back. You froze there for just a second.
I was just talking about with our at bats. I don't have time to go back and look at the game, but we need to make sure we're looking at taking every bat seriously, at bat seriously, because it seems like we're wasting a lot of at bats.
Well, I want to address what Kyle was talking about, because I do feel like it, even though our pitching, based on the stats I just threw out there, pitching did very well for what we, you know, threw out there. But, you know, we didn't see Gavin Van Kampen, of course, you know, and we didn't see Colby Weber. But, I mean, is Brett Antolik, is he hurt too? I mean, I know he didn't have a fantastic outing his last time out, but, I mean, we didn't see him at all. Luke Payne warmed up a couple of times. So I'm not going to read too much into that. He was available. Nick Moran must still have soreness. We didn't have him either. And, you know, Alex Boucher is coming in to try to save the game. And I made a comment a couple weeks ago that Alex Boucher is not really a pitcher. You know, he did okay against Penn, but he's not really someone you want to depend on. Well, I'm probably wrong about that. I mean, clearly Cliff has way more confidence in him than I thought he did. And probably with good cause, because he did pitch fairly well yesterday. He pitched two real good innings until he gave up the home run. But today it just took one pitch from him and the game was over. So, you know, I was surprised that we never, like, went with Brett Antolik I guess that the lefty, Nick Moran, is still on the IR for some reason temporarily. So, I mean, I don't even know what we have available. That's part of the frustration, trying to figure out, you know, how we can get through this pitching shortage, is to figure out who we have available. And I have not been able to do that. And they don't tell us anything, so.
Yeah, and one thing that would help that, guys, is to score more runs. You know, today that wasn't the situation. We lost in the bottom of the ninth with a two-run cushion. So today the bats did their job. But, you know, yesterday, we couldn't get anything going offensively. But I don't know. We're in a bad situation, and you got Wilmington and Charlotte coming to town, four games this week for in-state bragging rights and a conference series. And I mean, you know, you go 1-3 this week, things are going to start getting ugly in Granville with the fan base. And to be clear, when I say it's starting to get ugly in Granville with the fan base, ain't nobody calling for Cliff Godwin's head. And if you are, you're an idiot. So make that very clear when we say about, you know, when we're being critical, when we're saying things, you know, because that's going to be kind of the tone if we keep losing, and the tone of the fan base. But nobody is talking about firing Cliff Godwin. If they are, they're complete idiots. Cliff Godwin has one of the best reputations in college baseball and a track record of success. And I have no doubt he'll get it fixed. But, you know, right now, you know, and he may get do. We may end up in a situation where we have to win the conference tournament like we did last year to make it in. You know, there's still enough baseball left to be played where we can do enough in the regular season to make it in. But it has to start this week. And, yes. You know, it we can't keep losing close games. They are because, you know, we're a hair close to being 3-1 on the week, or 3-1 on the week.
Yeah.
At yeah. Beating Duke midweek and taking 2 out of 3 against UTSA and feeling great about things.
Yeah, our, 3 of our last 5 losses have been by 1 run, and we play an insane amount of tight games. Like, we've played 29 games, and 10 of them had been 1-run games or a tie in the case of the Carolina game, and we won four.
That Carolina game is coming to bite us in the tail.
Yeah, we're 4-5-1 in those games. That's, I mean, 35% of your schedules. I mean, it's 1-run games. You've got, like you said, Kai, we got to find a way to win those games. And
we're playing for damn tight.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think, I don't know. I think we, sometimes I don't think we're making the right decisions in the, you know, in the bullpen and not pull, you know, we let, what's his damn name, that gave up the 2 runs in the ninth. Help me out, guys. I'm horrible with names.
Was it Rose?
No. Oh, you're talking about tonight, Joe Webb?
Yeah, Webb. I mean, we let him stay in entirely too long. I mean,
Webb. Yeah. He definitely gave it everything he had, but maybe, it was time to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where we didn't have a choice. We wouldn't have normally left him in, and we wouldn't have gone to Alex Boucher unless we absolutely.
Yeah, well, you may be right, Dave, and that's what JR was kind of alluding to earlier. We don't know. So many of these guys aren't listed as injured. We don't know where the hell they are.
Right.
So, you know, it makes logical sense that that's who we had to throw. But, you know, who else was up in the bullpen besides Boucher?
Payne.
Payne
was up. Yeah.
Payne. Okay. Those two get up. They've been up together a lot lately, which, you know, they never have put Luke Payne in. And I'd like to see, you know, what he can do. But, you know, Alex Boucher, like I said, 1 pitch. Here's what we got to stop doing. And I think, Kyle, I think this comes from being tight. I really do. Okay, we played 10 innings today. 5 of their 10 leadoff hitters, we either walked or hit them with a pitch or they got a
base hit. Yes, great, JR. That's an obvious point that we haven't spoken about. Yeah, that's killing us on the pitching mound.
390s.
And 4 of those 5 leadoff batters that got on base scored, and the one that didn't score was in the first inning, and the only reason he didn't score it was Caden Miller led off the game with a walk, and then he got thrown out at the plate because it was a fantastic play. It was Matt Lashley threw it to Carlos for the first out, and then Carlos threw it to AI, and then AI threw it directly home because he saw the guy going for home plate. It was a bullet. It was a great tag by Walker Barron, and it was a perfect play. And I was like, yes, this is how this game's going to go. We got some luck on our side, and the break's going our way, and executing very well. And that guy, he's the only leadoff base runner that didn't score. The other 4 all did.
Yeah, and you're right. You talk about walks and hitting batters. Well, I'd rather give up a home run than walk somebody or hit them with a pitch in most situations. It bothers me so bad to just give free base runners. They always come back to bite you. And when you do it multiple times in a row, like we did in this game, that's a great point, JR, and something very obvious that should have been spoke to already, honestly. But yeah, that goes back to playing tight. Those are the kind of things you do when you're tight, when you're worried about, you know, giving up a homer and you're pitching tight.
Yeah. Now, hey, their pitchers were in a similar situation. They had guys out there that weren't used to being, you know, in those situations. So we took advantage of the same thing. We had 4 leadoff batters get on base. 3 of them scored. But we had 3 batters hit in the 7th inning. Grady led off the inning, got hit by a pitch. Then AI got hit by a pitch. And then Davin got hit by a pitch. All three of them scored. So if they weren't hitting us with pitches,
yeah,
we would have never got back in the game. We scored five runs, and we only allowed – I mean, we only had two hits to score five runs because the rest was errors. They had three errors, a walk, three hit by pitches. So it wasn't all our bats that was doing it there to get us back in that game. They were helping us out as much as they could.
Bad base running for Colby at third hurt us. That was
I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know if he got sent. It was the I think they thought the ball got away from the catcher more than it did.
Right. That's correct.
So he took off for third, and their catcher just Stukey. He it was an easy play for him to throw it down to third. Yeah, I don't know if that was Colby or somebody gave him the go sign. I'm not sure.
Are we getting any sense anybody's back this week, JR, or do we have any idea, Dave Allen?
Have not heard anything about any potential returns, no.
Hey, while you're talking about that, Kyle, I thought it was really, really weird that – so we had Nick Parham playing shortstop in game one. And we won that game. And then game two, Nick played shortstop again. But then, you know, today it was Lashley. Lashley pinch hit in game one. So I thought for sure, okay, he's going to start game two, no doubt. But he didn't. And Nick Parham is good with the glove, but he's not, you know, he doesn't have the same bat that Matt Lashley does. So I felt like against San Antonio, we needed all the bat we could get. So, you know, I was surprised that Matt Lashley didn't start either one or game one or two. And then he did start today and, you know, he was 0-for-3. But so.
I'm sorry, JR, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so there's another example of we just don't know what injury statuses are. And I guess that's how a lot of programs are, a lot of coaches are. But it's frustrating.
No doubt. John White says, Marconi during the transmission of SOS from the Titanic, Alan. We were talking about earlier with Mark.
Yes, yes, yes. I was there, saw it with my own two eyes.
Okay. we already talked about a bad base running. John White says, ugh, don't remind us. That would have been a 3-1 count, too, if he had stayed put. The ball didn't go far. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, guys, we're just not doing the little things, and that was one of the hallmarks of a Cliff Godwin baseball team for so long, is the fundamentals, and they were going to do the little things, and you're going to win, you know, the one run games more than you lost them, because it was a Godwin hallmark of a Godwin team. But last couple of years it has not been. We're not doing the little things. We're scuffling. We're losing games that we would have normally won over the last couple of years with the little small ball things that aren't going well.
It's just hard to teach that kind of culture of doing the little things right in the portal age. I don't know. Like I said, I think maybe that some of this is Cliff's using the portal. I just think it's the adjusting. Again, I maybe I'm wrong on this, but maybe just he's not able to build things from scratch like he used to for everything. Kind of ECU baseball teams have always kind of – the ones that have been great under Cliff have had his personality, if that makes sense.
Yep. This team does not have a defined leader on the field. They got good players and good kids, but there's no go-to player that when the chips are down, right, is rallying the troops. We don't have that leader on the field this year. I don't think that we need when games are tight. And you know, you need to make a play here and a play there or settle down in a certain situation. I don't see that this year.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I mean, and I'm not saying it's not there, but I'm like you. It doesn't come across on the TV that there's anybody out there that's really the team leader, take charge kind of guy, like the field general, if you will.
Drew Bastnight says, always seems like 0-2 counts, or we're ahead in the count and hit by pitch or whatnot.
That the
center? Yeah, good point, Drew. That's true. That makes it twice as bad.
A Senator Bastnight?
Drew Bastnight. I don't think he's a senator.
No, he's not.
Is Senator Bastnight dead?
Yes, he is.
Well, wouldn't be him.
Yeah, Phil Bastnight. Yeah.
Yeah. Joshua Pruitt says the term walk-off will come to define the season. Here's one for you, Kyle. Drew says, can we have a spring football show next week to cheer us up?
I don't know about next week, but we'll have one at some point. When is the spring game?
Spring game is the 18th of April.
Okay. Maybe we'll do one that weekend. You know, talk some football. There's a lot of question marks there. I tell you, I love Blake's attitude in the press conference. His spring press conference, and that's something we'll talk about later in the show. But if you haven't listened to that, you need to.
Yeah.
He's in there in a complete rebuild and talking about winning the conference championship. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, so he's putting it all out there, and I applaud him for it. And we'll see what happens.
And I'm not. Go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry.
I'll say, you know, Blake is very transparent as you can be, you know, with in this day and age. And that's, you know, I think people respond to that. Just, you know, having a coach that's not up there just going through the motions, saying the same thing over and over and over and over. You got a guy who's just being a regular guy. And on top of that, he's winning. So, you know, that makes a huge difference. It really does.
I think Blake is one of those people that we're seeing. And this will really tell the tale, because this is all his, from the coaching staff to the players. I mean, he built this entire thing. But I think Blake may be one of those guys that's a lot smarter than people realize he is.
That is 100% accurate, Kyle. And I tell you why, because we talked about it before. If we were all hanging out at a barbecue, or if we're at the baseball game and Blake shows up, he don't try to distance himself and be the VIP. I'm the head coach of East Carolina. He doesn't let it get to his head. He's very grounded. He is one of us. And that's the thing. There's a lot of things like we talked about the last show, but Blake is willing to talk to big donors. He's willing to do parties, hang out, do whatever to sell his program. And I think that is really, really been, in fact, Drew says Blake is a hell of a person. Absolutely, you're spot on, Drew. You know, we were pulling hard for him when he took over as interim coach, because he's such a good guy. But we know that it takes more than being a good guy to have a
– Yes, no, and I knew he could motivate. That was something that when we took over as head coach that I picked up on right away. And that's why I kind of – if everybody remembers, I said hide and watch several times, because I knew he'd be able to motivate that team. And my question was, he earned it, so I wanted him to get hired. My question was, could he do it the next season when it was just a motivating situation? And right. He did. And then you look at this past offseason, I like his hires on paper. We'll see if he made the right hires, saying we'll see if they made the right decisions in the portal. This is going to be all his team. But we'll talk about that more later. We need to get back to baseball.
Yeah. In fact, Turtle Boy says, do we need to move some money around for football and try to hit the transfer portal with the money?
You mean him for baseball?
Yeah.
No, we can't take away from football. What we need to do is spend more on football, so football wins at a higher level, so we're creating more revenue, then we'll have more money to give to baseball and basketball.
Yes, but at the same time,
there is nothing that's going to create more money. You get East Carolina into the playoffs in college football. There's nothing. If a team has a run for the playoffs from you know, and you know it from game one, game two, like we're red hot, you're going to see every game pretty much sold out, and nothing will make more money. So, yeah, you put more money in football. The better football is, the more money we'll have to spend on everything else.
That is
true. You don't take money away from football. We got to create more money to spend on basketball and baseball.
Right. I'm not saying, and let me be very clear, I agree with Kyle's saying. You don't take away from football. What you do is you've got to put more of an emphasis on basketball, and you have to get the dudes in for baseball. We have a good team. I think the difference is that there's some players that we're not getting, and we've got to be – and I know that Coach doesn't like it, so I'm not trying to start an argument with him. But for me personally, we are in rev share right now, and if we need to get – right now – if you said, how much is it going to cost to get these players to come into East Carolina baseball, same thing with basketball, then we need to do it. If it's $10 million, $5 million, whatever it amount, I want to win. And let me tell you something. My coach said to us seniors in baseball, he said, Mike Perrell, God rest his soul, I miss him a lot, my former baseball.
Did you say $10 million or $5 million? Were you talking about baseball?
Yeah, my high school baseball.
No. $10 million or $5 million. Were you talking about baseball with that?
Well, whatever we have to spend.
It wouldn't take me nowhere near that for baseball.
Well, what I'm getting at, we're used to getting the dudes, the big time, like the Agnosis of the world, you know, those kind of guys, those kind of players that come in. And I think that there's a few of those guys we're missing on. I could be dead wrong, but I do believe that we're going to have to spend money on baseball, on those players to win at the level we're used to. I think that we're so close right now. It might be one dude. It might be two dudes. I'm not saying that we're missing out on a whole bunch of players. I'm not saying that talent evaluation is off at East Carolina. No. I'm not saying that. So let me be very clear.
It's definitely not at the high school level.
But we're going to have to I'm going to have to, you know, that's one of those things. My point was, my high school coach said, when you get tired of losing, you find a way to win. And I think that comes from the fan base. I think that comes from
the baseball program's not. We just went to the NCAA tournament last year. I mean, and we still may make it this year. It's not like we've fallen apart. No. But we don't need to get to the point where we're falling apart. You know, if we need to spend more money on baseball, we need to figure out a way to spend more money on baseball. But it just can't come at the expense of football. And it really can't come at the expense of basketball, because we can't afford to spend less than basketball. So there are enough people that love baseball that will give directly to baseball. To make sure we have some more money to spend on that, on players.
Yeah, and that's what Garrett Blackwater did for, and maybe John White and some others that follow the program really close.
I get it that way, but I think we would have a different tone. Everybody would. If I'm not making excuses, but Braxton Trammell is a huge. That was just a huge hit. I mean, and we talked about lack of power. Well, he was leading the conference in home runs when him and Boucher had that collision. And I mean, if we had him, that's somebody that we did recruit and we did get him in here, but he's not available. And now with these two pitchers, hopefully they'll be back sooner than later. But I'm not making excuses.
Is Braxton out for the year?
Who's that?
Braxton. He's out for the year. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's official, but I think it's written in stone that it would be probably foolish to bring him back before then. He's definitely going to redshirt.
You have Conley, you have Rose, and you have South Central, that three of the top high school teams in the state for baseball recruit those teams, is what Drew's saying.
We got Dixon. But, yeah, I agree, Drew. I agree.
Basketball is more so than baseball, but yeah, I agree with you, Drew. Drew was asking, is Vogley done for the year? We needed his power.
I don't think so. I think he is.
He will come back. I have not heard.
Again, we don't know. Thank you. That's another one I didn't even mention because I forgot about him.
How important? Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say he's out of my mind because I just don't know. I just consider he's not available until I hear differently, and he's a great kid. I hope to get him back.
How important is this coming week to the remainder of the baseball season? I mean, I look at it, I think, and I know, JR, you disagree with me. I think if we beat Wilmington, I think if you take two from Charlotte being one of the better teams in the league, that's fine. You got to get some sweeps later when you're playing Rice and Tulane and Memphis and Wichita, these bad teams. You got to sweep them. But I think if we go 3, do you think we got to go 4-0 this week? I think 3-1.
Here's what I think, Kyle.
3-1.
I think that the Wilmington game, if you're going to lose one of those, it has to be the Wilmington game, and I don't want to do that. We have to sweep Charlotte because it's a home series. We haven't won a series at all since March of last year against Rice, and we've never started
You mean swept
a home series, since March of last season against Rice. But
Charlotte took a series from South Florida this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah. Everybody is 4-2 or 3-3 or 2-4.
Yeah, that's something to mention. With everything that's going on, we're a game out of first.
Yeah, but does it matter if you win the conference? Winning the conference doesn't guarantee you anything. Like, you could win.
It'll help your resume. If you win the conference, you've done it, and you get some midweek games, you're going to be a bubble team.
Yeah, we got to sweep, though. We've never started since the 2017 season.
I don't think we have to sweep. I think if you go 2-1 against them, 2-1 against South Florida, 2-1 against Florida Atlantic, and then sweep Wichita, sweep Tulane, sweep Memphis, and then take care of business in the midweek. I think we get in. Would I have to win the conference tournament?
I would like to hear what people out there think, because I feel like we need to sweep Charlotte because it's a home series.
I'd rather sweep them.
Our margin for error is getting very small.
Yes. Yeah. We got to start taking every weekend series, and we got to start winning midweek games. We can't keep losing close games. Right now, like I say, we're a couple of runs away from feeling really great about this week.
Yeah.
If we went 3-1 this week, our RPI would probably be up in the 30s now.
Yeah,
that would, because it went up to 43. Went up to 43 after that game one win.
What I was saying. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, Dave, that we've never started since 2017 when we didn't make a regional. We've never started out a season 3-3 in conference like we are now, ever. We were 6-0 last season. We were 6-0 in 21, 4-2 in the rest of them. So we've never been 3-3. That's why I feel like we just have to sweep Charlotte. And it's not even likely. I don't think that it's an easy task. I don't even think that we'll do it. But I feel like we need to. But that's my feelings.
I'd rather sweep Charlotte. I don't think by not sweeping Charlotte, if we go 3-1 this week, that we're in a situation at that point where we're going to have to, there's nothing else we can do in the regular season to make the NCAAs without having to win the conference tournament. I mean, there's still plenty of baseball left to be played. Now, you go 1-3 this week or 0-4, you're done. You're going to have to win the conference tournament.
Yeah, I was going to say, guys, we're down. We're just over. Johnny, help me, but I believe off the top of my head, we are at 29.
We're over halfway.
Yep. So we have 27 games left. That was one of my questions tonight. I'm going to put Alan Vick on the spot. How many games do you think we have to win out of the 27?
What's our record right now?
We are 16-12-1.
12. I think we got to win 20.
16-12-1. And out of the last 27, I'd say 19 minimum.
Oh my. To do what? To get into a regional?
Yeah, I'd say 20.
Yeah,
I say 23.
You think we got to get 39 wins to get into a regional?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
This is a different time, Kyle. We don't rule the roost anymore. Yeah, there's a lot of good teams out there.
36 wins with the schedule we have remaining. Regular season wins. I count what we do in the conference tournament now. With the schedule we have remaining, we would be probably, if not top 25 of RPI, we'd be really near it.
Turtle asked, that was a Carolina game, Turtle. He's from Greensboro, where I was born. Turtle Boy live.
You're talking about wins over Wilmington, South Florida, Charlotte, NC State, Duke, Campbell. I mean, that if you go 20-7 during that period, there's no way we're not pushing top 25 RPI.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah, Kenny says this right, and he's right. 36 will not get you in. My magical number.
I disagree, man. I think with the schedule we play.
I think that the magical number I always look for us to have a good season, I look at the 40 number. So
40, you're in hosting position.
Yeah, we're going to have to go on quite the run to get to 40 wins. That's just – I don't think that's going to be attainable. I think it probably isn't,
especially with our pitching situation that it is.
So you think we need 38 in the regular season to get in, JR?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I do one of my things I do is I break down for the last, I guess, 7 seasons, maybe even 8, what every team had to do that made it as an at-large. I looked at all their resumes, and I know that our resume needs to be, like, way, way, way better than what it
is. What 12-7 is a stretch based on his. Yeah, he's saying they even get there. 12-7.
Yeah,
John, do you think at 12-7, 36 wins, do you think we would be in? Or do you think we would be in, we would be a bubble team, or we would be out?
Justin's saying 35.
Justin says 35 wins gets us in. Wow, I'll say 36. I want to know what John White thinks.
He says not enough consistency on both sides, offense, pitching, and defense.
Yeah, he don't even think we're going to get to 12-7. Well, all right, JR, what if we get to 36 finish second in the conference and make the semifinals of the tournament.
He says if we did 20-7, he says that we're in.
So he thinks 20-7 we're in also with 36 wins.
Yeah. He's just saying he doesn't see us going 20-7 because of.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
You're doing all you can to put yourself in a position to not have to win the conference tournament to get in. I mean, and that's where we're right on. We have no margin for error much anymore.
Yeah, I think you get to 36 wins, yeah, and then you don't go 2-barbecue. You at least win 2 in the conference tournament. And with that funky Cole Medina format, I mean, finishing in the top 4 becomes imperative.
What I was going to ask you guys, thank you, Kyle. I was going to ask you guys, I think last week, sidebar really fast, what do you think about that new format?
I've eaten dinner, but if you want to have a salad bar really fast, we can do that.
Okay.
You said salad bar really fast.
What?
He took your sidebar and made it a
sidebar. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sidebar. What is the new format?
Alan, I think if you have to explain a joke, it's not funny.
moderately funny.
The new format. Okay. If you finish just or JR or anybody who knows it, somebody in chat, JR, if you know it, correct me if I'm wrong. First and second gets a first and second round bye. Third and fourth gets a first round bye.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the ACC tournament does it now in basketball.
Yeah. Basically,
same thing.
So a double bye if you finish in the top 2. Third and fourth, you get a first round bye. So basically, if you don't finish in the top 4, you ain't winning unless you get red hot.
All right. Kenny says 36 plus 4 and the – I guess he says 36 wins in the regular season and 4 in the tourney. Is that what you're saying, Kenny? That's
isn't
what
I – Isn't 4 wins in the tourney means you win the tournament?
Darn close to it, if not.
Yeah, you. Well, if we finish in the,
it would for us.
Yeah, I think 36 wins and just don't go 2-barbecue in the tournament. You may be nervous on selection day, but
and let's not forget our past resumes, our fan base, the history, the culture, the respect. And, you know, if we're on the bubble. And if we're on that bubble, I say we're probably on the right side of that bubble. You know,
I hope we're at least having that discussion at this point because,
yeah.
Doug Groom asked, was D'Lo pitching as well going forward as he did on Saturday? Could that be a difference or was we just lucky? I think he's a kid that's got a lot of I've always said I like him personally and professionally as far as a baseball player. I think he's had a lot of ups and downs just being consistent. And so I'm hoping that, Doug, to answer your question from my vantage point, I'm pulling really hard for him. And I was happy about that yesterday, even though we didn't win. But I'm happy. I'm hoping that this is a trend where he's very focused and not having the inconsistency of the past. I hope we can leave that in the rear view. And he's an upperclassman. He's got a lot. I still believe in him and think he has a lot of potential. And if not, I think if they didn't, obviously, this stating the obvious thing of the whole night, if they didn't have any confidence in him, he wouldn't be on the team. You know who Cliff Godwin is. If he didn't have value coming off out of the bullpen, he wouldn't be on our team. I just feel like that way. And I hope that I hope he continues to grow and get better. We need him. If there's ever been a time, hey, now's your chance. Here's your chance for D'Lo.
I want to add something about D'Lo. The Xavier series, after that, you know, we didn't see him for a long time. And he was, you know, he left that game and they said it was a possible injury, but they didn't really go into any depth on that. But I didn't know that we would even see him come back. And he's come back twice, once at William & Mary and then at UTSA. And he's only allowed 2 hits in 4 innings with 5 strikeouts. But get this, no walks. We all know that was his, you know, kryptonite last season. He walked way too many people. So the fact that he's got 5 strikeouts, no walks, and has only given up 2 hits in 4 innings. I mean, he's got a 2.25 ERA at this point. I hope to see much more of him, and I'll be happy to see him come out there. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We get to talk, but this we say every time we do this show that this upcoming week is huge. But hey, all kidding aside, this upcoming week is massive, absolutely massive. But you know, we came back today. Can you, even though you lost and it sucks, can you take some momentum from being down 5-0, getting it tied back up? The team showed some fight. It showed some grit. Can you take that moving forward, turn that into a positive, and go on a decent winning streak, you know, from here? That's what you got to do.
Drew says the live RPI, Johnny, is 52. Just need to win games, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. I think if we are still enough baseball to be played, we're 36 is somewhere around there. And I'm not, you know, I think we'll be high enough in the RPI where we – you know, okay. Bare minimum.
There's a caveat to that, though. We are 52 because we actually gained points in the games that we lost to UTSA, because UTSA is, you know, that was on the road. But at Charlotte at home, that's why I say we have to sweep, because losing to Charlotte at home, our RPI is going to drop. And then to get, you know, it takes a long time.
What is Charlotte's RPI currently?
Oh, it's not good. I mean, it used to be. It was at one point. I think it's 58 now or 59. But we're playing them at their place, so that's not that's not tier one.
We're playing them in Greenville.
No, I mean we're playing at home, so that's not a tier one. We're playing at our place, which really puts the pressure on that you have to win at home. You just have to. You have to win at home.
Yeah. That's going to be this week. Anytime you have a homestand, you know, talk about that, we got to win those games. And literally with Wilmington on the clock Tuesday night, guys, just focus. That's all we can control right now. We got to find a way to win that game. Not to say that – I'm not saying that, you know, like it's a rivalry game like CAA, you know, like obviously the Charlotte games are more important as far, like you said. But at the same time, we also need to have a big win against Wilmington. It doesn't matter who the team is. We've just got to have a win.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is definitely some rivalry there. I mean, that hasn't gone away completely.
No, that's easy.
But you're right. It wouldn't matter if it was Wilmington or if it was, you know, William & Mary. We can't afford to lose. We need to be very selective with our losses going forward.
Yeah, we cannot lose. And Turtle Boy says, we cannot lose to Charlotte. If we do, I'll be disappointed. We should win at home. Wilmington is going to be a tough one. Absolutely, of course. Let's see. John White said, Troy towed the 50 RPI line, and we're probably bounced. And we'll probably bounce by EC winning American tournament, mid-40s RPI, and a couple wins in tourney, and cross fingers or win tournament again and remove all doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, we've just got to win. I mean, it's as easy as that is. It's not easy.
Well, it is easy. I have a stat that'll show you how easy it is to win.
Okay, go for it.
So,
you get one more point than the other team.
Well, one more run. If we score in the first, second, or third inning, we're 17-0. If we don't score in the first, second, or third inning, we're 0-9. So how about that?
Early.
I don't mean we're 17-0. Every one of our 17 wins we've scored a run in the first three innings in every one of our 17 wins.
We win games when we score early and can play looser.
That could be. Yep. There you go, Kyle, because when we don't score in the first three innings, we're 0-9.
Drew says, hopefully Norby is back. This is something I wanted to ask you guys. So thank you, Drew, for we have the best viewers and listeners, and we're the best fans because we're in Pirate Nation. Jenkins needs to start Saturday moving forward. I know that we have a bullpen situation, you know, where we like having him come out. I was thinking about him this weekend.
He's great. The problem is he doesn't pitch as well as a starter. He gets in his head. He pitches better coming out of the pen. I don't know what you do with that. He's clearly starting caliber, but and that was, you know, he was one of the, you know, top high school recruits in America when we got him. And he's more effective coming out of the pen. I don't know what you do with that. I agree. Logically, he should be starting, but
Cliff already said he's not doing that.
Yeah, because he gets in his head too much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
When you got a kid who has said that, who has said it publicly, that he prefers the bullpen because he gets in his head as a starter, I don't know what you do with that. You do like you did today and bring him in the second.
Four home games, and every one of them is a must-win for the team. That's what Kenny says, no doubt. This is I want to get John White, because John's been with us for a long, long time, and I love this. He says, this is getting old. We typically are locked for the NCAA tourney, not the same. And, John, I want to get your feeling, you being a pitcher, you being a former player, one of the best teams ever, and obviously with Coach O, how do you guys as former players feel watching the games now, knowing that we're so – you know, when Alan was talking about earlier about the little things, and John agreed as well, he's right. My parents talked about the little things. So what is that we're disconnected on, that we're not criticizing the team or saying bad about the team, but what is it that's missing the different – because you see, as Kyle's talked about, the difference between 1-3 that we are this weekend – and we're so close, razor thin close to being 3-1. What's the difference that, what are the little intangibles that we're maybe not seeing? Oh, here's a great one. John, okay. I like this, John. He says, use an opener. So in other words, get a guy to come in a couple innings. And
that is really what we did today.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Game two. We were 5 run downs, 13 pitches into the game. Well, not quite that, but we gave up 13 hits in the first. I mean, we gave up 5 hits in the first 13 pitches, and all of those, everybody scored. So by the time, you know, we cleared the bases, we were down 5-0. And then everybody came in and just did great. Marley and D'Lo, they combined six innings, one hit together, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, and then, you know, AB came in and pitched 2 good innings, struck out 3, and then gave up that home run. So I think the recipe is a tag team, just like UTSA is doing that. They don't have starters. The Friday night guy, they, you know.
Lost early, right? They lost him early with injury.
Yeah, they lost him early. But, I mean, if you look at who their Friday, Saturday, and Sunday starters have been the last 3 series, it's different every week. And like, what today, their starter stayed in for 1 inning. And he shut us down. He put it, you know, he shut us down 1-2-3, but they put in somebody else. So it's like
those guys look to be having fun. I watched the UTSA's team body language, and they were at home. They look to be having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Drew says, look at the top team now in baseball. NIL is more of an asset in baseball, I believe. And I think that Kyle mentioned this a few years ago, so I'm going to give you credit, Kyle. But when he and I were first talking about NIL, and we were very upset and all, anyway, we learned quickly that that's where you have to go, right? So you said, Kyle, the first sport that's going to affect, which was true, was football. And then we noticed basketball was, basketball is basketball. But it's kind of trickled now to baseball in the last 2 or 3 years that we've noticed that the
– Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, and I agree with all that. But look. You know, are we outspending everybody else in this conference in baseball? If we are, then we should have, in theory, being we do have a good coaching staff, the best roster. And we should be outspending everybody else in this conference in baseball.
Yeah.
So then we shouldn't have any issues. I mean, yeah, you know, your midweek games are going to be what they are. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But it's not just a spending issue. It's not like we're spending the same amount and now we're playing in the Big 12. So as long as we're spending more than everybody else in baseball on our roster, that shouldn't be an issue.
Well, I think that there's just about what we talked about. That's I do agree with you, because we are spending. Am I wrong on that, Johnny? I'm pretty confident we are number one in spending.
We have to be, if not very close to the top. How does UTSA get players? I mean, their roster is loaded. That stadium is worse than high school stadiums that I've seen in North Carolina.
And the fans come out. How many does the stadium hold? I mean, they had a decent – the atmosphere was way better than some places.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but I told you the biggest crowd they've had so far is 1,079.
Okay.
I don't know what they had today. I'll check and see what they had today. But
if the park holds 1,500, they need a nicer park. It doesn't have to be bigger. It just has to be nicer.
Yeah, definitely nicer. But, you know, if you look at their roster, a lot of Texas kids. So that's one advantage they have. You know, they're getting Texas kids. They're not going to A&M and Texas.
Drew says the lefty guy, is it Hoagland? Seems like a beast.
Yeah. 2.1 innings, one hit, 3 strikeouts. He got the job done. He really did.
Yeah, I was surprised today we didn't play the lefty-lefty game late in the game. Boucher in.
Kenny and I feel the same way.
I'm just trying to figure out if this team about to take off or fall apart.
That's how I feel, Kenny.
Yeah, right now it could go either way.
Turtle Boy says, I've been a member of the Pirate Club for 25 years. I graduated in 96, so Turtle Boy, you graduated a year after me. And I also give money to NIL, and it seems nobody appreciates my giving. No emails, nothing from the administration.
Turtle Boy, welcome to the club, my friend. We give to the Pirate Club. We give to NIL. Dave gives at a really high level, and we, you know, we all give to NIL. At least I think we all do. We don't get recognized either, and we do a podcast. Hell, half the time, the administration doesn't even want to come on our show anymore. They used to get everybody, but since we happen to, you know, be critical every now and then, and maybe sometimes, and I'm trying to get better at that, maybe sometimes I'm over the top or have been in the past with my criticalness and use, you know, colorful language when criticizing, and I'm trying to get more grown up with my criticism.
You're doing good.
Well, thank you. I'll still cuss though, but I am trying to get more. I'm trying to get more grown up with my criticism. So but you know, the point to Turtle Boy is don't just look at it like I look at it. You're doing it because you love ECU. Everybody else, you know, in our administration, for the most part, didn't go to ECU. They didn't grow. I didn't go to ECU. They didn't grow up in Eastern North Carolina. They have no ties to the university. They're just working here. They're paid pirates. And so don't worry about it. You support the university. And, you know, at some point in time, we're going to have people there. And I heard John Gilbert recently. And somebody, clip this coming up. I heard, you know, John Gilbert talking recently on an interview. I believe it was with Holton. Holton asked him about why people didn't reach out. And he said it's a staffing issue. Well, you know, you maybe don't trust Kyle from LaGrange, although you should. But you can trust Dave Richmond. You can trust Alan Vick. You can trust Johnny Robertson. You can trust Bubba Rosenbaum. We're not going to ask any money. Give us some numbers that you want us to call. Give us a list of numbers of people that used to give, or maybe Pirate Club members who quit buying season tickets, or maybe season ticket holders that are in a Pirate Club. Your staffing issues, you got plenty of Pirates out there that are involved enough and love the Pirates enough that will contact people on behalf of the Pirate Club. Just give us a list of names. So that staffing issue excuse can be solved by allowing Pirate Club members that you trust, because I know, again, you guys don't trust me, and that's fine. You can just take my idea. And that's the way to communicate. If it's truthfully a staffing issue, then use volunteers. I guarantee you can find plenty.
Let me say this, too. Okay. So we're asking for our fans, right, to give a lot. Season tickets, all right. Pirate Club, correct. Pirates Unite, which I'm not against any of these things. And, of course, the Athletic Excellence Fund, I think that's what it's called, AAF, which is our NIL. And, yeah, exactly, Jeff. I pay $10 a year. IPTE. So where I'm coming from is when I give a lot of money, and I'm not going to say that.
I pay $10 a year.
Yeah, you know, Clemson's thing, IPTE.
Okay. Well, $10 a year. I don't know. In 2020.
Well.
8, 6. What year is this? $100. I pay $100 a year. How about that? You know. But you give anything you can. Basically, look, right. There is a giving minimum to the Pirate Club of $100 a year. But to NIL, there is not. If you want to do a one-time $10 donation, think of everybody. If everybody that goes through those games at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium would give a $10 donation, we should have a competition with Appalachian State the week of the Appalachian State game to see who can raise the most money between the fan bases for rev share the week of the App State football game.
That is a great day, a great idea, Kyle, and great for that game. Because wouldn't that be cool to have, like, on the scoreboard, like in the first quarter, second quarter, whatever?
As long as we win the game, yes.
Yes, but we obviously want to win that game. But my point is that we have four buckets of money that we're giving to right now, right? And so I gave a nice gift for the baseball expansion. I'm not making it about me. I did get a note from Blaze, who was my Pirate Club rep, so I appreciated that very much. But it shouldn't matter, and I'm not knocking the people that gave big money. But if you give a big donation like I did, why didn't people recognize? And it's not about me. It sounds like it's about me, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people that are making – we have a show, so I can say it. There are a lot of people that are making, you know, big donations because – they're not a millionaire, but they're still making big donations, and they're not getting recognized. So that's something that bothers me. And again, I don't care if they recognize me or not. I really don't. But there are a lot of people.
There are a lot of people that definitely want to be recognized for giving and want people to. I don't care about it. I give to everything, but I only give so much.
Right.
But you know, I do give. Pirate Club member. Not at the I won't say what I give to the Pirate Club, but I am not at the minimal level. I give to NIL, and you know, I don't know why we're kind of stuck on this topic, but because Turtle, I mentioned it, but yeah, Turtle, don't. The point of all this is don't take it personal, unless you're at the top level. Most people don't get recognized.
I never see them promoting anything at the football games. Look at how many people are in the stadium. That would be a great start.
You're right. They do a little on the scoreboard, but not enough. Not enough. I mean, we should be aggressive about if we're winning the game big, particularly, or before the game, we should be aggressive about giving to revenue sharing or NIL.
Yeah, and I don't know. We talked about this, too, about the 50-50 raffle. We don't know the
legality, yeah.
Does anybody know the rules on that in North Carolina? I'll tell you another thing we should be doing. If I'm John Gilbert, and I'm not knocking him, but we should be, speaking of being aggressive, we need to be pounding the pavement in Raleigh to get the restrictive amount that state legislature can give the state-supported schools when it comes to athletics. That is something that's killing us. It's killing us. Florida can give, like USF, for example. They're getting a ton of money because Florida doesn't have those restrictions.
Well, we got some money coming from the lottery that's coming our way.
But we need it from, which I'm not poo-pooing. I think that's great, but we do need to have it from the legislature as a whole.
Do we have – I go in the same way every time when I go to football or whatever. Do we have people set up at every gate at a table – giving people pamphlets?
No.
That's part of what you need. Every exit, every entrance should have somebody there at least for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours to give out information, pamphlets. Here's a QR code you scan to learn more, whatever. And I know it's a staffing thing, but you could find somebody for a couple hours here and a couple hours there, I would think. To do that,
we have a Pirate Club staff. We have a board of directors.
Ask for volunteers. I mean, I know they always hit up Civic Group for volunteers, but ask Pirate Club members if they want to do it.
Yeah, somebody do it for tickets or, you know, whatever.
Do it because they want to, because they want to help.
Yeah.
But you got to have the vision to say that, and we need to have more. I was thinking about him today, Drew. Mr. Peace, time. Go all in.
Screw Mr. Beast at this point.
He is a loser because I'm sorry, but
I'm not going to go that far. But
here's my thing. He uses our university all the time. I don't care if he gives a minimum to use our facilities. He needs to.
Gilbert talked about how realistically what we're trying to do with them is having a agreement. You can use our facilities anytime as much as you want to for a yearly donation. And maybe that can come to an agreement. That whole I'm going to give $100 million thing. You know, that, to be fair, he's not the one that said that. He just didn't do anything to stop the talk.
Yeah.
He teased us. And that's what sucks.
Right.
And that's what he's, you know, and that's what, for this community, for Eastern North Carolina, and for the university, That's something, and clip this. That's something that he should, you know, think about, is he teased a whole bunch of people in Eastern North Carolina, you know, whether he said it or not, he allowed it to be thought. And, you know, it sounds like Gilbert wants to get into something with him where we have a relationship for a yearly donation for him to use our facilities as much as they want. And to me, that sounds fair. I don't know what that yearly donation would be. I'd hope it would be in the millions.
That's the problem. It's not. I agree with you 1,000%, Kyle, but that number is not big enough.
Just think of the publicity that Mr. Beast got from that rumor.
Exactly.
And how it started.
And it benefited us, too. It benefited East Carolina. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen at that level. It's not going to happen at that. Yeah, 1 million. There you go. 1 million, 2 million a year. Yeah, that would help. I mean, and then he could use our facilities unlimitedly. I don't know. I mean, give enough. We'll rename it. We'll rename it to the right now. What is it? The boat people. What is it? The Grady White Boat Athletic Complex. We'll name it the Mr. Beast Grady White Boat Athletic Complex.
Or you can name the stadium after him.
Mr. Beast Stadium.
Kenny, I'm sorry.
$2 million is a tax write off. It's a drop in the bucket. For him,
Kenny, I'm sorry if you say it's his money, but he is using the university. I'm so sorry. I don't feel sorry for a billionaire. I'm not in against him at all.
Well, I'll agree with Kenny on one thing, and it's not going to help us our calling him names. But criticizing him is fair. Now, saying it's his money, sure, it's his money, but. He's earned it honestly, but you know he did something. I don't think he's. He did a video one time that really pissed me off, and I won't get into that on the air. Mr. Beast, we want your help, I hope you find it in your heart to give to the university.
It's like Elvis. It's now or never. Turtle Boy says, where I live, the fire department does a 50-50 raffle. And they make a ton just by selling tickets. That's a great idea. And again, to be fair.
Yeah, we've talked about it ad nauseum.
Yeah, to be fair to the university, I don't know if there's any legal issues, but all the protein.
We heard there was, Dave, something about gambling on campus. But, you know, gambling laws have changed in North Carolina. So yeah. How does it affect 50-50 drawings? I've seen it at the Military Bowl where, you know, somebody walked away. You know, with several thousand dollars at the night of the NC State Military Bowl. I mean, not only would it, you know, if it was allowed, be a good fundraiser to go to rev share every football game, but, you know, somebody would walk away with a nice chunk of change also.
Right. So basically, I may have to move churches, Alan, if y'all know we're a good church, but I'm a good Southern Baptist. But I'll tell you right now, if I had it my way and they legally you could do it, I'd put a sports book right there at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. I'm sorry.
You know, there's been a Southern Baptist and a Methodist?
Yes, I do.
You do? What is it?
The Methodist walks out the front of the ABC store, the Southern Baptist.
Close. The Methodist will speak to you when they see you at the liquor store.
Yeah, I've heard one joke, actually. They said, Turtle Boy says, heck, they could sell out of tickets at one football game. Amen, brother, for that. Robert Dedrick says, isn't the Town Bank Tower naming and soon, in rights naming soon? Mr. Beast Tower, Town Bank paid $3 million. No, they paid $3 million total, unfortunately, Robert. I wish it was $3 million a year, but it was
$3 million. We seem to take too little money, in my opinion, for naming rights.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just my
opinion. And I'm not against And let me be clear, Kyle. I appreciate Town Bank a lot, but
yeah.
You look at how many times.
I hope they get outbid this time by somebody giving, you know, four times that.
I like this idea. A Win, one of our regulars, 50-50 sponsored by Grover Gaming.
There you go.
I like that, A Win. And again, I hope if there is some laws, let's change those laws because. They're archaic, antiquated, and we need to make sure that the fans would buy our fans. If we can do it, if and when we can do it, we will make a good chunk of change on every.
I'll tell you what, if we can ever get John Gilbert or Ryan Robinson or anybody from the university back on here, well, I maybe we can ask them directly if that's something we can do. And I don't know if they'll know the answer or not, but we can at least put it in their ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll definitely have to see how that goes, fellas. Obviously, did you want to talk more about baseball, or we can?
If it wasn't for JR, we'd be able to get them all on the show.
JR, I'm the one holding back.
Wait a minute. How did JR become the problem? I'm going to stick up for JR.
Everybody knows that Gilbert hates JR.
Oh, my Lord.
Secret's out. Dang it. Hey, Dave, I did have one more thing on baseball. Not really pirate. So last season, there's only 35 at-large bids available. Only four teams that were not power. What do you want to call them, Kyle? What are we calling these?
Baseball should be the power three.
Yeah, well, anybody, and I'm going to include Oregon State in that because they're a perennial, they're a national power. So four of the 35 teams were non-power schools. Southern Miss, their RPI was 21. UTSA, their RPI was 18. UC Irvine, their RPI was 23. And Dallas Baptist, I'm not sure what their RPI was, but it was in the 20s. So
that's why it's so hard. Those were the only at-large teams that weren't from power leagues last year?
Yeah, 31 of the 35 were from the big three, and I added Oregon State. Yes, sir.
Wow, that is very concerning.
It is.
Because most years you have the belt with three teams in every year. You have – Conference USA used to be a multi-bid league. The American, I think, should be this year. You got the new Pac-12 starting next year that you'll have DBU, Oregon State.
I'm going to read this to you real quick, Kyle. So everybody, all the small conferences had won the tournament winner, except for the Sun Belt. They got two. Conference USA, two. Big West, two with Irvine. American 2 with UTSA, and then the Big 10 had 4, Big 12 had 8.
Wow, ACC, the Big 10 9. Had 4.
Yeah, yeah.
That is nonsense.
You know why? Because they inherited UCLA and USC.
Oregon. Good point. All right, yeah. Good point.
The only traditional Big 10 school that made it was Nebraska. And then the SEC got in 13. So that's why I'm worried, Kyle.
I guess it is the power four now in baseball too. I forgot all about, Oregon, UCLA, USC.
I'm nervous.
And Washington being in the Big Ten now. I get you. I'm hoping that's an anomaly that only that few teams get in outside of the power four conferences. We haven't seen that as a trend yet. Unless you go read back the previous two or three years and then we just didn't realize it. I hope to God not. Because I didn't realize it last year.
No, because the year before that, East Carolina got in as an at-large.
Yeah, true.
I think they had a 24 RPI at that point.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. We just got to be hitting on the door of the top 25 RPI, and if we're 20-7, we will be.
I would think so, yeah, absolutely. And then with the tournament, you would think you would like to think that we would be in one of the top four teams, right?
Ooh. Yeah. Dallas Baptist was 22.
In that situation, we would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dallas Baptist was 22, which means that no team with an RPI higher than 23 made the tournament from the smaller conferences. That's why I'm worried.
I hope that was an anomaly. Like I say, it hasn't become a trend yet, so we'll have to wait and see.
All right, we'll keep our eye on it.
Yeah. So does that make you more worried? So am I hearing that the margin for error is even
– based on last year, it would be, if that's a trend, but we'd have to look back at the previous, three or four NCAA tournaments to show if there was a trend already headed that way or if that was a one-year anomaly.
I will say something that would work in our favor is there's a lot of teams struggling right now. Like, so what we're going through, a lot of teams are going through, including like LSU, who's still third most favorite. They have the third best odds to win the whole thing, but yet their record is worse than ours. So, and the RPI is worse than ours. So, you know, maybe you guys are right. Just keep pushing. Just keep getting that number up, as you know, little by little. Maybe we'll be okay. I don't know.
Well, we got to, again, as Coach talks about, I know Coach Godwin's talking about some marathon, not a sprint. And so all we can focus on is, like I said, Wilmington. We'll focus on Wilmington. And literally, as the cliche goes, it's one game at a time. And I think when going back to Alan's point way earlier about the intangibles, the little things, I think there's a – I just have a gut feeling. We talked about this before. Kyle talks about, you know, like Jenkins being in his head. I think they're trying to do too much. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, they want it so bad, and that makes them play tight, right?
This team has right now, for the lack of better terminology, in my opinion, this team has the yips. They just right now, but it only takes a couple of wins. You know, momentum in baseball, any sport, is so important, but baseball especially. Teams can get on a roll and things can completely turn around in a game or two. But right now, we're pressing too hard, like playing tight, like Kyle said earlier. Our body language does not look good at all on the field. I don't see kids smiling. Baseball is a fun game, and it just takes a couple wins to turn that around. But the time is now. I mean, we don't have – yeah.
What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose?
Yeah, that we're getting to the point now. We got to play loose because we got to go. that's just the bottom line. We got to start winning some games immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, before we do leave baseball, we can't not mention Ethan Norby. That was ridiculous what he did. That was definitely his second best outing. You know, no one's going to top the Coastal effort from last season, but this was darn close. So everybody calling for Ethan Norby to maybe lose the Friday spot. I'm sure there are a lot of people.
At this point, we don't have anybody else healthy.
Well, that's true. This is before the two injuries to Weber and Van Kempen.
Pitcher of the week.
Ethan's our guy, man. He's our Friday guy, and he's going to carry us. So he looked like he was having fun, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the secret. He was loose. He looked like he was having fun out there.
Yep.
Extra innings player of the week. Who you going with? Set pitcher of the week is obviously Norby. Who are you going for the player of the week? Who you got? I know it's a tough week, but we still pick. Is there anybody? I mean, give a bright spot for a player being called.
Who was it? Who did we have last week? I think we had it was Davin Whittaker. And then I think Colby the week before that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we should probably give it to Braden Burrs.
Yeah. Braden had the best series this weekend. I mean, statistically, did he not?
He had a couple of hits in all three games. Not a lot of runs or RBIs, but hey, he did. He's Braden again. So I mean, I'm looking forward to him. You know, the rest of the season setting the table for us in the leadoff spot.
A-Win gave a super chat. Thank you to A-Win once again.
Thanks, A-Win.
$5. Let's go.
And if you would also like to get shouted out there on the Sports Objective, give us your money.
Super chats. That's what super chats are all about. Give us your money.
We take that $5. We thumb wrestle for it, and the winner takes all. That's how it works.
Super chat. I'm super chatty.
Let's see. Ethan, All-American self came out. Exactly. Kenny says Brandon. John White says Burris, obviously. Okay, thank you, John. Turtle Boy says the team is deep, featuring 23 returning players and 19 newcomers. I didn't know we had that comeback from last year.
Not a lot of starters. Is he talking about football, the two deep?
No, I thought he was talking about baseball. Is he talking?
Oh, there's no way he's talking about baseball. That's too many players.
32. Yeah, it must be football. Okay, is he going football?
Yeah, well, that's not enough for the roster. So I don't.
He's saying baseball. It's only 30 some on the team, bro. 32, 33.
Well, 34, I think, is the act you can only have, but you can, redshirt people. You can grandfather clause. I think
he meant a couple players. He meant football. I assume he, is he talking about the two deep? Guys that didn't play a lot last year, we have quite a few guys returning on defense. We played a lot of guys on defense last year. Who is returning? I was trying to who do we have back on offense besides Brock Spaulding, guys?
Kyler Pearson. He's not really a starter. He just comes to mind. Who do we have? That's a good question.
Engelman. T.J. Engelman. He played quite a bit at running back before he started, you know. He got a little wasn't carrying the ball the best, but
man, your guy Jacquez Pettaway, Kyle, that's your guy.
Well, you know what? I'm anxious to see Pettaway in the screen game. Engelman, who I think has got a bright future at running back. I actually like our running back room quite a bunch. Blake does too. Even though we lost guys like Montgomery to Florida, I really don't think we took a step back in the running back room.
No, I don't either. Dylan Lorick and Tyler Johnson are coming back. You just never know who's going to step up. So I'm not discounting, you know, their contributions, but they definitely were not getting a lot of snaps.
Yeah, we did really well in the portal in the running back room.
And the kid from Havelock, Johnny Williams, I don't know where they're even going to put him. He was a running back. I think he's a wideout now.
Yeah, we'll go over the roster when we're more prepared.
Hold on. We would have what's his name back? The quarterback that you always botch his name. The one that started the
Jordy Lowry.
The quarterback that started the
quarterback. I thought you said cornerback. Jesus Christ. Ditta.
Cheston Ditta. He was coming back until Kyle decided not to go to the bowl game, and then
that's my fault.
I'm out of here.
It's not Kyle's fault on that one.
I wish Ditta would have stayed.
I'm not going to throw that on Kyle at all.
Well, of course, I don't think JR's being serious.
He's not.
Thanks for clarifying. I wish Ditta would have stayed. It really bugs me, particularly him going to North Texas. You just know he's going to go down there and light it up, because that's just how stuff works. I do like the two we picked up. I like that they come from winning programs. I like that they were in similar offenses. But, you know, Ditta, again, culture piece. He knows what it's all about. This is just a total rebuild. I have no doubt we'll have a good defense. It's just a total rebuild. And I think the pieces are there. I do think we have the pieces to be a good football team. And here's the good news. We're not the only ones going through this.
Exactly.
Almost everybody else in the American is. That was good last year.
That's correct. Yeah. We're gonna be fine. I'm not worried about that at all. It's the world, unfortunately, we live in with the transfer. The free agency is what the transfer.
I look for Army to be really good in the American this year.
So you want Army?
I'm not making any picks this early, but I do think they're gonna have a big bounce back here.
Yeah. They have a great coach.
They have a returning quarterback. That's important. When they don't have a returning quarterback, they have like an off year. When they have a guy that knows how to run that offense, very efficiently, they do well. So that's a good call, Kyle.
Yep. Kenny Curling says Emory Williams is a big quarterback.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's 6'4". I mean, will he win the starting job? You know, I don't know. I know Bubba. I guess he won't mind me saying this. I know at least early on. You know, he thinks that I can't think of his name now. The other quarterback, the Texas Tech Wake Forest kid.
Oh yeah,
who's our other quarterback, guys?
I'm drawing a blank. I usually know it. Like,
good Lord, none of us can name
our Mitch Griffiths. Mitch Griffiths.
Thank you, JR, for saving us. Mitch Griffiths. So will it be him or will it be Emory Williams? Time will tell. Also, post-spring, not only us, but just throughout America, those kids that entered the portal that didn't get picked up by anybody, you know, they're going to be waiting to see if anybody picks them up. It'll be interesting to see. There will be additions to roster post-spring. There are still kids in the portal. You can't enter the portal. There's not a second portal period, but you can still be signed from the portal if you have roster spots available. It'll be interesting to see around the country what kind of movement is made post-spring, how many of those kids sitting in the portal get signed. Probably not a lot. I don't expect anybody to sign a whole bunch, but JR, can you think of any positions that we may look at post-spring for who's still sitting out there just for depth?
Offensive line.
But everybody needs depth. What we did on the O-line in the portal.
I do, too. Well, that's because we got a guy from Southern Miss. I know you like that kid for sure.
Yeah, I liked him, but even more so, I like the kid from Kennesaw State that was a starter on a conference championship offensive line. We've had three really good pickups in the portal on the O-line. We could use some depth pieces, but I think that's maybe we did better than most teams in the group of five is on the O-line in the portal.
We could use some quarterback as well.
Yeah, I don't care about Chess and Data Lead. Bubba says, great news is Emory can't leave if Mitch wins the job like he could have last year. Great point.
That's right. A great point. That goes both ways. Well, I mean, I guess he could leave, but he wouldn't be able to transfer or play anywhere. So there'd be no need to.
All right.
That's going to be an interesting battle. The quarterback battle is going to be quite fun to watch.
I'm going 9-3 this year. Way, way too early prediction.
Yeah,
but
too early.
Yeah, I got to do a lot of research on a lot of teams, and there's too many unknowns. I don't know how anybody can make a educated prediction right now on
As we sit right now, we'll go 9-3. I really feel.
You did this a couple of weeks ago, and I refused to participate.
Yeah, what are you basing it on?
If you look at the teams we're playing, I would say Alabama is.
Yeah, we went through the schedule, but I haven't looked at App State's roster. I haven't looked at USF's roster. I haven't looked at Tulsa's roster. We can play Tulsa this year. You get the point.
Yeah.
So I got to look at all these other teams' rosters, see what they got coming back, see what they did in the portal. You know, somebody like Temple, I don't think, and I could be wrong, I don't think they lost as much in the portal.
They've got a good coach.
They could take a big step forward this year. So a lot of things need to be looked at before I make any predictions. I will make one prediction. I would be shocked if we have a losing season, based on everybody else going through the same crap we did.
Right. And if you look at it,
we were the only ones going through it, then I would, be very concerned, but we're not. Everybody that was good last year in the American lost most of their team and many of them, their coaching staffs.
That's correct. But I have the Alabama loss and two conference losses. That's what I'm going with right now. And we'll talk more about that. Obviously it's way too early. So we'll keep working on that, guys. Were there other things you want to talk about here in the round table tonight? I've got to go in a few minutes to pick my kids up, and I'll come right back. It's really close by, but
we can just close it out when you need to go, unless there's some topic that is pressing that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, obviously.
What is the number he left? Right? Did he leave?
Yeah, he's playing for Florida.
Yeah, that's Florida.
Yeah, obviously NCAA basketball. Quite a weekend. Duke is gone. Carolina does not have a coach. We think NC State does have a coach. It's been quite the weekend for as far as college basketball goes.
Yeah, Blake said he's not satisfied with making the military game again. And look, we've been there, done that. We should have won in 21.
And I agree with his sentiment. However, that's the wrong word, but close enough. Sentiment. On the goal should be to win a conference championship, but I wouldn't put down what you've accomplished. I wouldn't do that because one of those military bowls were special. Not having a 9-win team is special. So I wouldn't do that, and that would be my only little criticism for Coach Harrell, and I don't have very many. But otherwise, I love his message.
It's time to aim high.
It is time to aim high, but you don't want to – if you fall short, you don't want that to seem meaningless because you've denigrated. You don't want, Coach, you've talked shit about in the military bowl. Now we got to go play in the Myrtle Beach bowl. We don't even care. So you got to be, to me, you got to be careful with that. But yes, the goal should definitely be to win the conference championship. Should be every year, and I'm glad he's saying it publicly. I absolutely love that.
Oh, and here's another thing: possible Jeff Lebo return.
Yeah, I've heard that as an assistant coach.
Yeah,
Yeah. They are. What are your thoughts and what are you hearing on that?
I haven't heard anything other than what we just, you know, talked about in the group chat. I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Dave, you hearing something?
Well, I will tell you this. What I know personally, I don't know about the it makes sense. And I'll tell you why. And again, hear me out on this. I don't have knowledge. I'm just hearing when people are saying the rumor. So I will tell you how it makes sense. How it makes sense is we didn't have, we were a coach. We had a coach vacancy the whole entire year, right? Lebo obviously got, you know, he got let go when Hubert was let go. His wife, Melissa, I know personally, and her sister, Dee Dee, and I went to school together. Melissa is from Williamston. Her parents are elderly. All of our parents are, you know, up there as far as a lot of my friends in the Williamston area. But they're elderly, and it would make sense from the family side of things, I'll just say that, to move to Greenville, to work in Greenville, or if he even if they lived in Williamston, and I know some realtors, they have Williamston ties, I'm joking, but it makes sense from that standpoint. If he's willing to be an assistant, you know, hey, he had a great run here. I think he had some physical health problems that hurt him the last 2 years. That was not his fault as far as coaching, but he got the hip replacement and things. I don't think he left on bad terms. I think that it was just a health situation. So having said all that, I'm all for him coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard there was more interest on our – at least early on, I heard there was more interest on our side than it was his side.
And that may be true. That may be true.
What did Bubba say?
He agrees, Kyle, but I think he meant all the obvious of playing for a conference title and probably a better bowl if that happens in a playoff.
Yeah, I do too, Bubba, but I think – I just wish he would have worded it a little different. I love the message. I just wish he'd have worded that one thing a little different.
All right. Let's see. He said it couldn't be worse. That's true. That's true.
We need to hire an offensive mind and assistant coach that can run an offense because shorts don't know what Ellie's doing from an offensive standpoint. And I think that affects his defense too. So if he can coach defense and be more of a defensive coordinator type, I don't guess that's an official title in basketball, but
that's fair. They do have offensive coaches and defensive coaches.
So, I mean, it's, let him concentrate on that and let somebody else run the offense because we have no identity on offense. And you need something to create some excitement. That would at least maybe create some interest from Pirate fans that would get people talking because there's going to be absolutely no momentum for basketball. There hasn't been in a long time.
Clip that. All right, guys. Do you have anything else? If not, let's see. We own that bowl. Exactly, Kenny. I want everybody to let's try to stay as positive as we can. Let's pull hard for the Pirates this week because let's get everybody, a lot of people. I know it's a Tuesday night. Let's get a lot of people out there rocking. And if you don't have your, like, if you're not going like I do, I either sell my seats or I give them to my friend, as Alan knows, and he and I are up there a lot of times in the press box.
Yeah.
So sell your tickets or give them away to somebody.
Exactly. Yeah, just give them away if you're not going to use them. Kills me. So, I mean, I guess everybody's financial situation. Oh, got to get $10. Just give your damn tickets away. I've given away parking passes to football games. Anyway, I don't understand people. With that said, it's more damn effort half the time. Anyway, tonight Stevie wasn't on the show. Justin wasn't either. I don't know why Justin wasn't, but I know why Stevie wasn't. His daughter's birthday, Mallory, is today.
Happy birthday, Mallory.
She went to Virginia this weekend to see Billy Strings, and she was coming home tonight. And so he was going to celebrate her birthday with her. So happy birthday to Mallory. I think she is 22 today.
Right.
Thankfully, it looks nothing like Stevie. So happy birthday, Mallory.
We love you, Stevie. We still love you. I don't know about Kyle.
He's all right.
Yeah. And Justice says, kids, Kyle, he's getting his kids to bed. So anyway, we'll get out of here. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate y'all. And we'll be back. We'll try to see about Wednesday night because we have the Easter Thursday, Friday, Saturday series coming up with Charlotte. So Stevie says, thank you, Kyle. But anyway, we'll get out of here. Thank you guys so much. And as always, go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.